is anything ever finished? I can tell you sermons are never finished. You get through with them in about 20 minutes. It takes me all week to go through it and get ready for it, and I'm never ready. I'm never finished with it. Lives are never finished, but they end. They are by no means finished, complete. Something's always left undone, unsaid. We talk of putting finishing touches on a project, but is it ever finished? There's always one more thing we would like to have done had we had the time. If you're a sluggard, a lazy person, nothing ever gets finished. If you are a perfectionist, in your mind, nothing is ever finished. That makes it all the more amazing to me that of the seven cries that Jesus uttered from the cross, one of them is, "It is finished." I want us to explore that cry this morning as we open our Bibles back up to John chapter 19. I'm going to read some verses that I read the last time that we looked at this series. And I want you to think about them as well as we lead up to this sixth cry that Jesus uttered from the cross. John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. And I still love that picture. Sour wine went up and mercy came down. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Those are all remarkable words, and every time I look at them, I see more and more in this time that Jesus spent on the cross. I want to ask a series of questions this morning. Some of them will be different. Some of them will be repetitive. But the first one is, was this a cry of defeat? And of course, it was not. I told the children this morning that Jesus was not a loser on the cross. Jesus didn't lose. Jesus won a great victory on the cross. And we'll talk about that a little more. But this morning, I told you that, I've been trying to tell you through this series that each of these sayings had a timing about it. It was said in perfect timing. If Jesus had said just prior to speaking to his mother, just before he said, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother," if Jesus had said, "It is finished," just before that, he would have been saying, "It's over. I've got nothing left. I give up. I have failed you. John, take care of my mother for me. I've finished. I've done all I can, but it's not enough." But the cry didn't come then. It comes at the end of his suffering. And it was not a whimpering whisper. Both Matthew and Mark record the nature of this cry. Remember, only John was an eyewitness to the cross. John recorded the word. The rest of the gospel writers record the sound of that word. I take you to Matthew, who says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. This was a loud voice. "It is finished." It was a cry of victory. It was not a whisper. It was a shout. In the Greek, by the way, it's only one word. Just one word. Just one word. Not a sentence, just one word. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a preacher of long ago, called that one word an ocean of meaning in a drop of language, a mere drop, for that's all we can call that one word. It is finished. Yet it would need all the other words that were ever spoken or ever can be spoken to explain that one word. Was it a cry of defeat? That's question number one. No, it was not a cry of defeat. It was a cry of victory, this cry of Jesus from the cross. What was finished? Well, first, the cross was finished. His suffering was almost complete. In another moment, Jesus would lay down his life. That fact in itself is important for us to understand as anything else. They did not take his life at the cross. He sacrificed his life at the cross. He gave it up. He laid it down. He died at this moment because he willed to die. It was his decision, but it was a decision that could not be made until it was finished. So what was finished first? The cross was finished. What was finished? Second, his life was finished. And I want you to think about that life. It was a perfect life. Everything God wanted him to say, he said. Everything God wanted him to do, he did. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 29, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Can you say that about your life? Can you look at me and tell me that everything you do is pleasing to God? That every thought that you think, that every word that comes out of your mouth, that your every action is pleasing to God the Father? Jesus could say that. I always do that which is pleasing to him. His was a finished life that pleased the Father. And so when you come to the end of your life, are you going to be pleased with the way you've lived your life? On that day when you come to die, and you're staring death in the face, and you're ready to stare God the Father in the face, are you going to be able to say, "I am pleased with how I lived my life, and I know that God is pleased with me. My life is complete, it's over, I've done everything I was supposed to do, said everything I was supposed to say." So first, yes, the cross was finished, but second, his life was finished, a perfect life. He'd never been a moment without a knowledge of his Father's presence, except for those 3 hours of darkness on the cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What was finished? Number three, his mission was finished. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And it's interesting to me that the Greek word that he used that is translated accomplished is the same Greek word used here in John 19:30 that is translated finished. Only Jesus at the cross uses a more intense form of that word to emphasize the extent to which the mission had been accomplished. That one word is tetelestai. It means completed, not merely ended, not merely done, but perfectly done, rounded out, absolutely and actually accomplished. Tetelestai, it is finished, mission accomplished. That's what Jesus was saying from the cross. What was finished? Next, salvation was finished. Everything that needed to be accomplished had already been accomplished. You'll notice in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, there was nothing left to do. A perfect sacrifice had been offered. Some years ago, we did a study on worship, or I did at the church where I had served, and I showed our people how worship that pleases God is pictured in the Old Testament practice of the burnt offering. In the burnt offering, nothing was spared. That's why they called it a burnt offering. They burn it all up. So it was totally consumed by fire. It was lost in the sacrifice. And the first chapter of Leviticus outlines the procedure for an individual who would offer such an offering. And I bring this to your attention because I want to show you a parallel, hopefully you can see it, between the burnt offering and the cross. First, the animal that was to be sacrificed was to be a male without defect. It was to be offered at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that the person offering it might be accepted before the Lord. The person offering the sacrifice was to lay his hand on the head of that animal as an act of identification. And I want you to keep that picture in mind, because as you think about your own personal salvation, I want you to think about putting your hand on the Lord Jesus Christ as an act of identification by saying, "Lord Jesus, you're doing this for me." But that's not all the person was to do. Here's something you might not know. The person making the sacrifice was to slay the sacrifice by his own hand before the eyes of the Lord. The priests were to take the blood and sprinkle the blood at the base of the altar, And then the person making the sacrifice was to skin the victim by his own hands. And then by his own hands, he was to cut the sacrifice in pieces. He was to take the insides of that sacrifice and he was to wash them with water. It sounds like an awful, bloody mess. It was not supposed to be some kind of sterile procedure from which the person seeking God's favor was separated. He was to watch as that sacrifice was laid on the altar and consumed by fire. And as the smoke of that sacrifice ascended heavenward, it was said to be a soothing aroma to the Lord. That sacrifice would then be accepted by the Lord to make atonement for that person. They had put their hand on the head of that sacrifice, saying, "It ought to be me, but instead it's you." And as you look at the cross, it ought to be you, but instead it was Jesus. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the whole Jewish sacrificial system was finished. Don't get mixed up with people who say, "We still got to do things the way they did them in the Old Testament. We still got to make Old Testament sacrifices, and we still got to go through Old Testament procedures." That was finished at the cross. Jesus fulfilled that. His life was a pleasing aroma to God. He was your substitute. He died in your place. He offered Himself up on the cross. It was the Father's good pleasure. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Jesus said at the cross, knowing, listen to me, this is important, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, Jesus said, "It is finished." He made peace, not by something He's going to do later. He made peace by the blood of His cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Paul said, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, we read, "Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood, Jesus entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." And in Hebrews 13, 12, "Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, "To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." We go back to John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." And they took that jar full of sour wine, put a branch of hyssop, put a sponge on a branch of hyssop, which is a picture of what happened at Passover. They took hyssop and dipped it in blood and smeared it on the doorpost of their house. And John uses hyssop for a purpose. God used hyssop for a purpose. He wanted us to see that that sour wine went up to the cross, that mercy came down from the cross, and Jesus cried out, "It is finished," completed. The sacrifice had been offered. God was satisfied. Satan was defeated. Sin was paid for. But that's not all it means. What else was finished? The debt that you owed for your sins was paid in full. Some time ago, archaeologists discovered a collection of ancient writings in Egypt. Writings referred to papyri, and these writings were in the same kind of Greek called Koine Greek, used in the time of Jesus. And they give us some remarkable insights into the everyday words of the Bible. And one of those insights concerned this word that Jesus used on the cross, tetelestai. That's the Greek word, one Greek word. This was a word that merchants and storekeepers had written on receipts for bills that were paid And it meant paid in full. The price has been paid. The books are clear. That was the triumphant cry of the Lord Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Sin is paid for. Salvation is accomplished. Now, last question. If it is finished, what is left for you to do to be saved? Now, I believe this is why Jesus chose to compare himself to a serpent in the wilderness. And he did that, if you don't know it. You might remember this story from the Old Testament. The people had sinned. God had sent fiery serpents among them to bite them. The bitten people were dying. And in the Old Testament it says, the Lord sent these fiery serpents. Many of the people died. The people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away these serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said, make a fiery serpent. I think this was in some of your Sunday school lessons not too many weeks ago. Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Now Jesus, looking back at a time when God provided a temporary solution for the sin, looked forward to the cross when God would make a permanent solution for sin. And this is what Jesus said. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever, you know the next word? Believes. That's all it says. So that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You know what the next verse is? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And from the torturous cross, Jesus cried, Tetelestai! It is finished! Mission accomplished. So if it's finished, what is left for you to be saved? You must believe. You must lay your hand on him as your substitute and sacrifice. And you must realize that that bloody mess at the cross was for you. The suffering and sorrow was for you. He drank the cup of God's wrath for you. But you know what? If you refuse to believe, if you refuse to turn to the work that Jesus did on the cross, it'll never benefit you. Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, but you'll never be forgiven. On the cross, Jesus said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise, but you never will. On the cross, Jesus bore Mary's sins and her sorrows. We talked about that. He was the suffering servant. But you'll bear your own. On the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that you need never be. But if you refuse to turn to Jesus, you'll be forsaken for all eternity. And you'll find yourself crying that same cry in torment. On the cross, Jesus suffered agonizing thirst for you so that you would never have to be thirsty and drink the sour wine of the world. But if you never turn to Jesus, you'll experience the thirst that the rich man experienced in torment when he cried out to Father Abraham. He said, send somebody and let them just take a drop of water and put it on my tongue because I am tormented in this flame. On the cross, Jesus cried, it is finished. And if you never turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be finished for all eternity. No hope, no escape. You'll be condemned and not saved. So if it is finished, if Jesus did everything that needed to be done on the cross for you and for me, if he did it on the cross and finished it, if his work was complete on the cross, from the moment He said, it is finished. What is there left for you to do and for me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in Him, simply, only believe, and you'll not perish, but have everlasting life because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's pray.